God bless you. Very thankful for the goodness of the Lord. All the snow is a nice change from fall conditions, and we're finally looking at winter. And today's the 16th. Is that right? Five more days. Praise God. There are people that count down to Christmas. I count down to when we start gaining daylight. Amen. Praise God. Life-changing. So many things that are life-changing. An accident can be life-changing. Winning the lottery can be life-changing. Not that we play it, but, I read a statement that said most lottery winners, they're millionaires overnight. Most of them are broke in 2 years, divorced, estranged from their families, and, things just not. Money was definitely not the answer. Falling in love is life-changing. Falling, that's kind of a, maybe I'll say it a different way. But that's the way we say it, falling in love, and that definitely changes. And that's what the Lord did to bring a change in our lives, His love, His power, praise God, the blessings that He provided. I'm thankful for a life-changing message. The focused thought brings out the love of the Lord, and He, based on that love, the love that He displayed, continues to give us power to change our world. And I say that from the personal standpoint that your world, your personal world, is changed by the power of God. And then your world, in terms of the sphere of influence that you fill, can be changed as well because of the power of the Lord. Acts 17 and 6 is our key verse, and they make the statement, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." More than likely, that was a sarcastic statement. They were trying to ridicule. They were trying to mock, and certainly it was in a negative connotation. They're not patting them on the back, saying, "Hey, you guys have done tremendous with your work, with your message, with your product." It wasn't anything like that. They were being derogatory. But thank God, there is a change that is dynamic and powerful and wonderful that the Lord can bring. And I'm so thankful that we are able to focus on that. Praise God. We emphasize Christmas for Christ in this season because of the gift of a church being able to change that community, to change lives, to change families, to make a positive change. And thank the Lord, those works are continuing because of the dollars that you contribute to Christmas for Christ. The culture connection in your lesson tells about a homeless church, a pastor and his wife going to a city in California, investing $20,000 in the renovation of a building, only to be told that you can't occupy. You have to install sprinklers, you have to do this, you have to do that. It's always discouraging when when the city steps in and makes these requirements. I think, Brother Rick, of building permits and so on. Only in America do we pay somebody to give us a bad time. But I suppose it is for safety. But we were trying to have church in an addition that we put in the back of our house in Ketchikan, 26 by 28 addition. And the neighbor complained, and the city official showed up, said, "You can't have a meeting here." And he was totally understanding. He said, I understand what you're trying to do, but city ordinance does not allow churches to operate in the neighborhood. He said, you can have a poker get together, you know, have a party and making all kinds of racket and cars parked all over, but you start saying it's a church, you can't do that. And so and the Lord blessed. We were able to find another church building for $25 a week, and that worked out to have a big, nice Sunday school rooms, a nice church building, and the Lord blessed. Praise God. And even when the church people required us to have $1 million liability insurance, I thought that was an invitation to leave. But I went to the insurance agent and said, we need $1 million liability policy. He made some calls, and for about $300 a year, we got $1 million life, not life insurance, but liability insurance policy. So it works out. Praise God. And this pastor, discouraged, I'm sure, wondering about the $20,000 investment and all of that, but ended up pastoring another church, full-time, salary, benefits, congregation, building, everything. God opened that door for him. Praise God. Brother Walters in North Dakota pastored two churches, and I think one was a Methodist church, and I can't remember what the other church was. They weren't United Pentecostal churches. But they elected him the pastor because they couldn't find a pastor to come to those places, and he pastored those places. I haven't heard. He was elderly then. I haven't heard anything recently how things have gone, but praise God. There are those opportunities to bring a life-changing message to those who have been just, you know, carrying on with a little bit of work and understanding of the scriptures that they had. But thank God, we know in the book of Acts, the lame man who had never taken a step in his life for 40 years had a life-changing message. A lot of the aspects of healing that we see in the book of Acts definitely caused a change of life. And in the Gospels as well, the Lord doing the healing work. But, oh, the greatest change is the spiritual work that the Lord does in our lives. And so we've seen how Paul and Silas on their journey into Macedonia had a church plant with what we would call a church plant with Lydia, casting a devil out, an earthquake, and then a conversion of the jailer. How powerful the Lord worked on their behalf. And now, as their custom is, they go to the synagogue and begin to worship and evangelize and share the word of the Lord. And thank God there were results. Some Jews, some Gentiles, some prominent women in the community, and Lydia, no doubt, with her contacts in the business world and just in her social life. No doubt they saw the powerful change that came to her and likewise were interested and then began to inquire about the things of the Lord. And so they end up at the house of a man named Jason. They didn't have church buildings. Apparently that was not a priority. They had synagogues that they would go to. They could share the message of the Messiah and the Christ with them, and people become interested and then go with them to the different house meetings that they had, and then a church being born. Praise God. And thank the Lord that there would be that kind of blessing. Now, they had a great deal of opposition, too. And our scripture lesson in verse 5 talks about certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. That's an interesting description of rabble-rousers. They created an uproar. wasn't an uproar that was good. The apostles go into Ephesus, and there's Diana is a goddess that has a temple there, and for two hours the people of the community of that city are in a uproar, and they're chanting, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians," for 2 hours. Praise God. Hard to get some people to come to church for 2 hours, much less praise the Lord for 2 hours. I'm thankful that the Lord is able to change lives. Praise God. And again, they make their accusation. They've turned the world upside down, and they're trying to put Christians at odds with Caesar, and they're proclaiming another king, one Jesus. I like the way they're identifying, with the statement "one Jesus," but I'm thankful that they're also getting it theologically correct, biblically correct. There's just one. His name is Jesus. Praise God. And they're able then to, through this uproar, make some changes. But a lot of times that opposition will cause people to pay attention. Yeah. That opposition will cause people to inquire and be curious. What's going on anyway? Why is there a controversy? Why is there a problem? And actually, a lot of people, particularly the academic world, highly intelligent professors like C.S. Lewis, and who are some of the others? Josh McDowell. Who's the guy that wrote "Evidence That Demands a Verdict"? Oh, it is Josh McDowell. Okay, I thought there was another one that was involved here. Oh, there's an attorney that writes about the case. The case for Christ, the case for faith, and all. What's his name?
Strobel,
yeah. So these guys, they started with the idea of we're going to disprove. We're going to show it's fake. We're going to reveal how it's nothing. But they, in their investigations, became changed because of the power of God. So I'm thankful that opposition is not going to be successful. It's not going to be able to stop the move of the Lord. Paul understood opponents. Here's some fill in the blanks for you. He understood opponents. Remember, he said, there's a door open. There's an effectual door that's open. And there are adversaries. He understood. He himself had been an opponent. He himself had been involved in persecution. And so he knew there would be people incited to persecute the church. Stephen is an example of the martyr, and Paul had been there holding the coats of those who were throwing the stones to crush the life out of Stephen. So he was familiar with it. And as the case was with Jesus, false witnesses were located, false witnesses were brought in the scene and made their statements of accusation, and Stephen then was executed because of his stand for Scripture, and Acts 7 is an amazing history of Israel, and Stephen was obviously a very studious young man who could memorize so much of Scripture and the history of Israel and present it in such an amazing way. And then he gave his life for that message. In Matthew 26 and 59, there were false witnesses brought against Jesus. So those, the end justifying the means is often a statement that you hear. it shouldn't, it should not enter into the vocabulary of or the practice of people who are following the Lord. And certainly these religious leaders shouldn't have resorted to it as well. But they did in the case of Jesus. They did in the case of Stephen. And no doubt when the Apostle Paul was executed, there were false statements that were made against him. The lesson brings out how in, as recent as 2017, apostolics in Nepal who were operating an orphanage, you would think that they would be applauded, that they would bring community support and so on of the work that they were doing. But instead, there was condemnation. Instead, there was persecution and even imprisonment. Because when the authorities found out those children were praying to Jesus, their opposition arose that was very strong. And so the opposition that comes is a terrible thing. And I used to get a publication called Church Around the World, and it was not from our organization. It was someone else that would monitor different things that were happening around the world. But it would detail how some of the opposition in countries of that were controlled by Hindus and Buddhists and Muslims and so on would persecute very harshly Christian believers. And it didn't matter if they were Pentecostals or Baptists or Catholics or whoever they were Christian, they were persecuted. And some of the ridicule that came as a result of people taking a stand against Bible teaching. There's a book, and maybe some of you are familiar with it. I haven't seen it. A book called He is Black and Blue, But He is Not Through. Anybody read that? It's about a missionary named Sam Latta. He is black and blue, but he's not through. And it details some of the persecution that he went through as a missionary in Liberia. And he was reaching out to the neighboring country of Ghana. And people became upset with his efforts of bringing this truth. Church people got mad. And they accused him of being a political subversive, and or maybe a terrorist or something like that, a political subversive. And they accused him of being that, and two soldiers arrested him at an airport, and you know, the whole situation there became very, very bad. But he was released from that, and that didn't stop. While he was on a road trip to Ghana, some thugs got a hold of him and beat him up, and just in fact to the point of being unconscious. But he's black and blue, but he's not through. He kept on going. He kept on ministering to the gospel. I remember one of my classmates, Brother Crosley, Derry Crosley in in Argentina, being stopped in his van, pulled out, beat up, glasses broken, computers stolen, money, and so on. And, very poor situation. But people suffer persecution, but that doesn't stop the life-changing message that still goes forth. In fact, in some ways, as I said, it promotes it. And there are others who are brought into this truth as a result of others being persecuted. Here's some fill in the blank again. Jesus warned the disciples about persecution. And he encouraged them to endure that persecution with boldness. He prayed and asked the Lord to help them with boldness. And they likewise prayed in Acts 4, Lord, give us boldness to proclaim your word. They were not intimidated. And they stepped forward in the face of that persecution. In fact, at one point, didn't they rejoice that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name? That's Acts 5:41. So that's a pretty strong commitment of how they were sold out, how their life was changed because of this message, because of this power from the Lord and the work that he is able to do. The Lord encouraged his followers to be as wise as serpents. I don't know how wise serpents are. I guess because they have no legs, no claws, no feet to run. They've got to be wise in how they are able to capture their prey. Wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Again, a situation where there's no predation. There's no ability for them to to capture and snare and all of that sort of thing, like a hawk or an eagle or even a raven. They're harmless. And that's what the Lord told his people to be. And the importance then of being able to follow through on that, the wisdom. You know, the Bible talks about the gifts, and we oftentimes are excited about the gifts of power and, faith and healing and miracles and so on. But the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, those things operate. Now, I believe those gifts can operate in your lives, particularly in your outreach, particularly in your reaching for souls, the gift of knowledge, the gift of wisdom. Praise God. And I believe we can expect those things to happen. And I think, we talk about common sense. The Lord expects us to use the sense he gives us. And the missionaries sometimes, when they're entering into a country and the country doesn't want missionaries, will not allow missionaries, they say they're teachers. Well, that's not being hypocritical. There are a lot of countries that welcome teachers of English teachers. And there's a lot of opportunities that missionaries have taken to sit down in a park or in a cafe or somewhere and let someone practice their English on them. And then they give them pointers, and give instruction and give the Bible and give the Word of God. And they're not preaching, they're teaching. They're teaching English, and they're using the Word of God. So that wisdom is so important, and being able to utilize that in a way that is going to exalt the Lord is very important. Okay, you finish the statement now. You finish the sentence. A spoonful of sugar. Mary Poppins, pretty well known. Well, she's using that little song to help the children take something that's maybe disagreeable, maybe not to their taste and not exciting and so on. But we recognize the principle there. A spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. And we, in wisdom, apply that to the Word of God. And not to tone it down, not to make it ineffective. If it's ineffective, it's not going to change people's lives. Well, why bother? No, we're not changing it to be just an ordinary message like anything else is ordinary. But we're, in wisdom, utilizing means and methods that are going to get the word across. Amen. There were some Bible school students that were on a street meeting. And one of the Bible school students made a fellow on the street mad because he was telling him he needed to quit smoking. Well, yeah, he did need to quit smoking. But the other student kind of shared some wisdom with him and said, now, you'll make him mad by talking about that. But if he listens to you, all you'll have is a sinner who doesn't smoke. What you need to do is share the message of repentance and baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And then the smoking will be taken care of. Praise God. It's like that fella in Norvik. Pastor Farmer prayed. Don't let him enjoy it. Don't let it be satisfying. Don't even let it taste good. And the next two times he tried to smoke it, it tasted terrible. So he threw him away. Praise God. And now he tells Brother Farmer, oh, this is so wonderful. He said, the house is so peaceful, there's no arguments, no fighting. That's a life-changing message. Praise God. And the Lord does a work in people's lives, and we thank God for the power that he reveals and the strength that he blesses. Amen. Now, in your testimonies and in your experience with the Lord, let's see. I can't open it up to everything. Let me ask you this way. What is one thing that you would share with people that has changed, that really stands out, that you're really thankful for? One thing that the Lord has made a change in your life. Mr. Glover.
I'm no longer
fearful. Fear no longer dominates. Fear can be domineering. Oh, my goodness. It can just batter you. It can rob you of sleep. It can take away your peace. But thank God the Lord is able to deal with that fear. Anybody else? Brother Norm. Okay. The calm that the Lord is able to give in a storm. What's that saying? Sometimes he calms a storm. Sometimes he calms the person in the storm. Or something like that. With the idea being, it's calm. Storm may be raging, but the Lord's put a calm and a peace within us. Brother Greg.
Time spent priorities.
Okay. Priorities that help us to recognize what is most valuable, what is most important. Brother Greg spends a lot of time in the Word of God. That's a priority. And time in the house of the Lord, a priority. And those obviously return benefits that not only are for the here and now, but eternity. Incredible. Anybody else? Brother Rick.
The doctors have a place, but I know the healer.
Say again?
The doctors have their place, but I know the healer.
All right. And I had a doctor tell me that they can do, you know, work and surgery and placement of bones and so on, but he actually said it's God that heals. And so for Brother Rick, there are numerous examples of how the Lord has been the healer. The doctors have helped, but the Lord has been the healer. Amen. Thank God for it. So yeah, lots of things that are life-changing. Praise God. Now, there's mockers, there's scoffers, there's those that have, make comments. But here's one thing. I don't know so much of it. I guess it is life-changing. Here's one thing that I've not made the challenge very often, but I've thought it. And here's the challenge that I sometimes think about. I can go and get drunk as a skunk tonight if I want to. I can go over here and get tobacco in a can, tobacco in a stick. Go a little farther down the street and get wacky tobacco. Anytime I want, I can do that. Now, be assured, I'm not going to. I'm not that stupid. I'm not going to do that, but I can. I can. I can go up by the bridge, pull over to the left there, and order them up. Ring the bell, or whatever stupid things they do. I can do that, but I'm not going to. And here's the challenge. Can you lay down your cigarettes? Can you stop drinking? Now, that would make them mad. That would be like, you know, all you have is a sinner who doesn't smoke and so on. So I don't offer that challenge, but I sure think it. And I, at the same time, I'm thinking, who is really free? You know, you're a scoffer, you're a mocker, you make fun of my religion and my being in church and being faithful to the Lord. But who is really free? Who really has liberty? And so, in that process, I convinced myself, praise God, I'm thankful. Thankful for the changes that the Lord brings in my life and the blessings that he's provided. Praise God. And be assured, I am not going to go and make those dumb choices. Not at all. But I can, as compared to those who struggle and can't. But the Lord can bring a change to their lives, and thank God for that power that he's able to bring. So Paul and Silas are in Jason's house, and there's people who are being changed. There's power that's being displayed. There's a blessing of the Lord that's coming forth. And they grab a hold of Jason, and they make that accusation that these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. And they finally release Jason after he brings security. And I thought, security? Did they get a bribe from him? I looked up in the NIV, and it said he posted bond. They made money out of the deal. Didn't change their lives, but they required it of him. Well, Jason may have gladly paid it, or he may have grumbled about paying it. I don't know. But fortunately, he was able to be released and continue having church in his house. Praise God. So the opposition, those that would want to stop things, you know, I think about Judas being paid 30 pieces of silver so that he could betray the Lord and identify the Lord and lead the soldiers to the Lord. And we know the tremendous story about how they came to him, and the Lord said, "Whom seek ye?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And the Lord said, "I am he." He actually just said, "I am." And they fell backwards. That's quite a display of power right there. But the 30 pieces of silver that were paid to identify and arrest Jesus. At the crucifixion and the burial, and the authorities coming to Pilate and saying, "We remember that deceiver said in 3 days." It's interesting. They remembered it. I wonder if the disciples did. But when Pilate said, "Go and make it as sure as you can," I think he may have been smiling about that. He said, "You're the ones that wanted him crucified. You're the ones that wanted him dead. You're the ones that wanted him eliminated out of the way. And yet you're concerned about his word being fulfilled? Go and make it as sure as you can. Make it as secure as you can." You know, he's talking about the tomb. But when their security did not work, what did they do? They paid money for a lie. We give for the gospel to go. Amen. For the churches to grow. Amen. Thank God the Lord is able to bless what you give and multiply it so that there are more lives changed. Praise God. I'm thankful it's not something that's futile. It's not something that we're just doing to do. No, there are lives that are changed. Praise God. Because it is a life-changing message. Amen. Well, the opponents will never succeed in stopping the spread of the gospel. It's still going on. It's still happening. It's still moving. The church is still growing. Praise God. Because the Lord said, "I am with you always." even unto the end of the world. Praise God. And in 1 John 4 and 4, here's the fill in the blank. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I remember a statement from one of the Christians for Christ promotions from long, long ago. The power behind us is greater than the task in front of us. Amen. And thank the Lord for that kind of power that we're able to tap and receive and operate in and know the blessings of the Lord would be there as well. So worry about the outcome doesn't need to be something that we do. That's why Paul in Philippians 4 and 6 would say, be careful for nothing. He's not, you know, you have to look at the modern language versions and say, don't worry, don't be anxious. Don't you know, be overwrought. Be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes understanding. Oops, I said it wrong again. Which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We better check on that. Does it say all understanding? All understanding. Praise God. So, thank God that power is there and that blessing of the Lord is able to minister in our midst. Ephesians 4 and 15, let's take a moment to look at that verse. We're at the almost to the last point here. Oops, no we aren't. Okay, Ephesians 4 and 15. Speaking the truth in love. And in conjunction with that, speaking the truth in love, which notice what the outcome is, you grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, speaking the truth in love, praise God, that produces the increase, that brings about the change. In conjunction with that, Romans 5 and 5. Romans 5 and 5, along, again, with this aspect of love, the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Praise the Lord. Thank God for a lot of fulfillment of promises that's right there. And the love of God being shed abroad in our hearts for our benefit, for the change that God wants to make in our lives, for the increase that he wants to bring through his power, then the overflow, the direction, the outreach, the testimonies, praise God, that love of God being shed abroad. Amen. And others being touched, others being changed, others being blessed because of the Lord and his work. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I read this again, and I noticed twice, 2 Corinthians 5:17, twice, new is mentioned. A new creature. And based on that change, based on that power being displayed in people's lives, when things are changed, praise God, the change that you mentioned here that came to your life, then there's the becoming new. It's an ongoing change. It's a continuous change. It's not a change that just ends at one point and we fondly look back at what's there. Thank God we can look back at what the Lord did and provided in so many ways. But it's a change that's going to happen tomorrow. A change that's going to go on next week. Praise God. And the Lord in his power is going to continually reveal that today. Amen. Now, I'm intrigued by the list that Paul makes. And obviously the Spirit of the Lord is directing him to make the list that he is putting forth there. But a real important list in 1 Corinthians 6, because people who have these lifestyles, people who indulge in these sins are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And the three words, be not deceived. In verse 9, be not deceived. Boy, the world is allowing themselves, and even the church world, is allowing themselves to be deceived in so many ways, in that fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, we know what Paul's talking about there. We know the perverted lifestyles that have become more and more accepted. Thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, don't be deceived. They're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Now, on the one hand, we can be very, very thankful that there's not going to be anything that defiles in the heavenly realm. There's not going to be any need for locks and security systems and being on guard and guard dogs and fences and all of those things that we have to become aware of more and more in today's society. That's going to be totally absent. Praise God, because they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. Then the other thing is, the apostle says, such were some of you. And thank God for the change. But I come back to those three words, be not deceived. The message cannot be watered down. We cannot just become namby-pamby in our approach to a life-changing message and make it, you know, as exciting as what? Unexciting. No, it's got to be powerful. It's got to be real. It's got to be continuous in wonder. No wonder he, in that context then, he is called Wonderful Counselor. Because that's what he is. Amen. And thank the Lord, he's able to bring about those kinds of changes as we walk with the Lord and are blessed and continual in continuing in walking with him. Another list in Galatians 5, the works of the flesh. And without going through all 17 of those things, We can conclude they're all negative, they're all hurtful, they're all harmful. There's nothing positive there. That's the works of the flesh. But he goes on and names the nine fruit of the Spirit. And he says there's no law against them. You're not breaking the law when you display love. You're not fouling things up when you have joy. When you have peace and gentleness and self-control and all of those things that are listed there, they're not going to throw you in jail as a result of that. Praise God. They're beautiful and powerful and wonderful in terms of being life-changing. And thank God, when a sinner repents, heaven rejoices. When a sinner repents, the world becomes a better place. Amen. And thank God for the power that he's able to reveal. If Thomas was here, AJ, did you go to Youth Congress? You haven't been to a Youth Congress. Thomas was able to go, and I think when he went, there was 15,000, maybe 17,000 young people who were there worshiping the Lord and being blessed of God and having a powerful time in the Spirit of the Lord. Thank God for the changes that the Lord brings into people's lives. Amen. And we're trusting God to continue to do a work in their lives and the blessing that he's going to show them and the call that he puts on their lives, the hand of God that operates within those young people. Praise God. I'm thankful for the blessing of the Lord. Was it 34,000? You're right. 34,000. It was Oklahoma City, I think, that was 17,000. So Indianapolis, 34,000. That's right. They didn't have a convention center big enough for them. They had to use the football field. Praise God. That's Pentecostal youth. That's youth who have been changed by the presence of the Lord. Amen. And thank God for that power. So, the Lord paid the price for salvation so that you could keep the change. Amen. And you can turn your world around. Your world, as I stated at the beginning, your what is personal, what is involved in you, your world. And then your world that is your sphere of influence, the people you touch, the people you know. Amen. And turn it right side up. Praise God. Upside down from the standpoint of the dynamic changes that are done, but right side up from the standpoint of making it a better place. Amen. And thank God that he does that in our lives. Okay, our prayer time is here. We want to continue holding Brother Merle up in prayer. He's struggling with pain, and his oxygen levels are low. And so we want the Lord to touch him and minister to him. Sister Churchill is doing better. We thank the Lord for that. She opened her eyes, more alert. But we obviously need to hold her up in prayer and that whole family. Okay, so we thank the Lord for a victory there, but we know there's also the potential for things going in reverse, and we don't want that to happen. We want his oxygen levels to remain up, his pain level to go down, and the Lord to be glorified. Praise God. So the Walkers traveling, the Churchills, God would bless there. Brother Wade being encouraged and touched. Brother Don being an effective witness to his family, Brother Farmer with his hip, that the Lord would undertake for him, and then Holiday Youth Convention. Praise God. Again, our youth coming together in a powerful way. Sister Linda. Brother Steve, that the Lord would help him. He saw him at the store yesterday. He said he's doing well, but he gets tired, gets worn out. Well, he's recovering. Amen. And we thank the Lord for that. Praise God. Stand now, please. And let's bring these needs to the Lord. Jesus, we're so thankful that we can put our trust in you, that we know your goodness and your blessing and your touch. Oh, Lord.